Well, good evening. Good to see you tonight. God bless you for being here on time, ready for a blessing tonight. Let's take your hymn books from the page 440. Let's stand as we sing. So send I you. He's sending us forth on the first now.
So send I you, by grace made strong to triumph. O'er hosts of hell, o'er darkness, death, and sin. My name to bear, and in that name to conquer. So send I you, my victory to win.
On the second.
So send I you, to take new souls in bondage. The word of truth that sets the captive free, to break the bonds of sin, to loose death's fetters. So send I you, to bring the lost to me. So send I you, my strength to know in weakness, my joy in grief, my perfect peace in pain, to prove my power, my grace, my promised presence. So send I you, eternal fruit to gain.
Now after the last verse, we have that refrain at the end. On the last now.
So send I you, to bear my cross with patience, and then one day with joy to lay it down, to hear my voice, well done my faithful servant. Come share my throne, my kingdom and my crown. As the Father has sent me, so send I you.
Amen. I know I sound bad. I feel better than I sound, and I look worse than both. And that's not news to you. Brother Robert Floyd, come on ahead and deliver me from this. And open us up in prayer, please. Looking to have a great night tonight. Brother Robert, come on ahead.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the privilege of being able to come into your house and worship you tonight and learn about all the missionaries we have around the world. We thank you for them. Lord, we just ask your blessing on our pastor and staff and their families, especially Brother Aaron tonight. Lord, just ask your healing hand upon him. Lord, now may every heart be humbled to receive the message you have for us tonight. And we thank you for all the blessings you give us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And I'm glad you're here tonight for our second night of Missions Conference. Delighted to have you. Delighted to have our young people in here with us tonight, little ones and the teenagers also. And I'm glad you're here. Good to have Paul and Anita Pitts. What in the world is this all about here on a Thursday night? But anyway, they live in Jacksonville, members here, and come through every once in a while. And the words of the song that we just sang, this So Send I You, in this hymnal that we have, the words have been changed. And the reason the words were changed is because the people who were working on the hymnal wanted a rewrite of that song because they felt the original words were too demanding. And they had too much negative things. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred. So send I you to labor unrewarded. And all of these things. But the fact of it is, there is a price. There is a price. You that are missionaries here tonight, you know there's a price to that. And although I understand what they were doing and the motives for it and so forth like that, I think we must not too much take away the price, because Jesus said there would be a price. And it's not a bad song. It's not bad the way they have done it, because all those things are true. But conversely, the other side is true also. And so good to have a lot of young people. I was thinking about the young people that are in here. Young people, our prayer is that God would call more of you to the mission field. And not just young folks. You heard Julie's testimony last night. Some of it. Where is she? longer than anticipated, but, you know, okay. but that's okay. We'll, I want God to speak to some of you that are older also. And we should be ready to give, right? We should be ready to pray. Amen. But we should be ready to go also. Ready to go. Matt Prime, come on up here if you will. Good to have Matt and Amy and the kids, three of them in here with us tonight. Let's see, we have Cole and Lily and I see Trent's over in the nursery, right? And then we have Annie. Annie's right here. Yeah, I got Annie. And then we have Amy. She's his oldest daughter. She's with him tonight. No, this is his wife. Good to have her here with us tonight also. And they'll be here with us for the rest of the week. This is Brother Rick Prime's son, daughter-in-law, and his grandkids. Now, if you are around Rick Prime for just a little while, he will be showing you pictures. I guarantee you that right now. Of these four grandkids, he's proud to death of them. He's proud to death of this young man also, who is leaving from the staff in his church and going to a different area of West Virginia to start a church. And I want him to share a little of his testimony here with us at this time.
Well, it's an honor to be here. We appreciate the opportunity so much. I appreciate your pastor, and as he mentioned a little bit about my dad, he's been a real friend, a true friend of my dad for many years, and I appreciate that. And I'm thankful for him and his influence in my life and in our ministry there, and I appreciate his family and all that they've represented in West Virginia over the years. And he is a West Virginian. Now, he's in Florida now, but he's a West Virginian, and we claim him, no doubt about it. And we are from Ripley, West Virginia. We left there yesterday morning. It was 15 degrees. And we left there bundled up, cold, freezing, scraping ice, and running through snow. And we got down here, and this morning we were running around in short sleeves. So I don't know what to think. Tomorrow morning, we're supposed to get a foot of snow in Ripley tomorrow. And where we're going to start a church, they're expecting over 2 feet. So we're in Florida, and I'm thankful to be in Florida today. And we appreciate you allowing us to be here. Pastor Reynolds introduced my family. It is good to have my family. Annie is 8 years old. Lily is 7 years old. And then Cole, I want you to stand up right there where you would you? Cole, stand up. Today, he did stand up. You can't hardly see him, but he is standing. Today is Cole's birthday today. He's 5 years old today. And just thought I'd mention that. He's excited. He woke up this morning, and first thing he said was, am I five? And he was excited.
We need to sing happy birthday to you, Cole. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cole. Happy birthday to you. Now, I'm going to tell you what some people ought to do on a boy's birthday when he turns 5 years old. Some people ought to come up to you after a while and put a dollar bill in your hand. Would that be cool? Yeah, you think that? Well, maybe that'll work out after a while.
All right. Well, it's good to be here. Thank you for allowing us to come. And we are starting a church in Petersburg, West Virginia, just starting into the eastern panhandle, the eastern side of the state of West Virginia. And my wife and I both grew up in West Virginia and met in Bible college, and then God brought us together, gave us a great love for our home state and a great desire and burden for church planting. And I'm thankful that as we study the Word of God, we find that God is always at work. And the thing that God has ordained to do His work in this world during this age is the local New Testament church. And America and this world needs a lot of things. And the hope of America is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's program to get the gospel out is local New Testament churches just like this one. And we began to pray about where God would have us start a church. And we came to Petersburg, small town, West Virginia, and found that there is not an independent Baptist church in Petersburg. And really, the region, you'll see in our video a little bit more in depth, but that whole four-county region is very very void of any type of gospel witness at all. And our goal is to go there, get established in Petersburg, and we're kind of on the tail end of our deputation type raising support and prayer. We will begin the church, South Branch Baptist Church, this spring, all through the month of April, just a couple months away. And on Saturdays, we'll have different church groups coming in. knocking doors, saturating the community with the gospel and invitations. And then May the 8th through the 12th, we'll have a week of what we'll call Get Acquainted meetings. And then May the 15th will be Grand Opening Sunday of the South Branch Baptist Church. And we're excited. We're pumped. We're ready to get there and get to work. Every time we go up there and looking at buildings, looking at houses, things like that, it's almost kind of a bummer to have to come back. We're ready to get there and get to work and start the church. And God's been at work. We've asked people to pray for some very specific things. And from the very beginning, we just asked God that He would perform miracles before we even get there. And we've asked God for some very specific things over the last 10 months to a year. And just last week, and really all through this time, but just last week especially, we received many answers to very some specific prayers. We've been praying for a house. We got word last week that we should be able to settle on a house the middle of February. We praise God for that. We've been praying that God would work there in people's lives before we even get there. We got a call last week from a random lady just moved there from Pennsylvania. Got on our website asking us, when are we getting there? She needs a good church to go to. Amen. And we praise God for that. We've got another lady that we've known for a long time that's been texting me, saying, look, May's a long way away. We can't wait till you get here. And then we've really been praying that God would give us a building, a standalone building in Petersburg that we can use every day for a church building. And we made a lot of calls. We're looking for a lot of buildings. And just one day we were driving around, drove by a building that we'd driven by a lot of times, and it was an empty bank building, and two banks had merged, and the bank that bought this building was right beside it, and they've been using this building for storage for the last 10 years, and made some calls and just found out last week we're going to be able to lease that building for the South Branch Baptist Church. That's a miracle. And if you go through Petersburg, it's a nice town. There's not a lot of empty buildings, which is good. But this is a perfect location and a two-story building. And I think when we show our video, I'm going to try to insert a picture of the building. You can kind of get a little bit more. It's in a great location in town, a parking lot. And I think it's going to be a wonderful tool to reach those people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're excited about it. We're excited to be here. And we appreciate you allowing us to come and give a testimony about what God is doing. And just excited to be with you the rest of this week. Thank you so much.
All right, if you will, how big is the building?
3,250 square feet.
3,250 square feet, and two-story, place for classrooms, everything like that. How much is the rent?
It's $1,200 a month lease.
$1,200 a month. That's a good-sized building for $1,200 a month. It really is. Do you think we could pay for 6 months' rent? Do I hear a move we pay for 6 months' rent? I have a motion right here that we pay for 6 months' rent. Is there a second to that motion? All right. Wow. Is there any question about that?
No, sir. Thank you.
Would you accept it?
Absolutely.
Great All Lord. Right. Okay. All those in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
And all those opposed. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. Just fill it up and move out.
Amen.
And then come back and present the next building.
Amen.
And we'll pray for you.
Amen. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, yes, that's right. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. 441. Let's stand and sing, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. 441. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, choir, make your way on up as we sing. Ready, go.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Though they are smiting him, still he is waiting, waiting a prayer.
bless you, and may be seated. Choir's going to sing a little medley. Starts out with O Zion Haste, and then moves right into a song of exhortation. Let them know.
Responsibility to let them know, because people need the Lord. Let's stand together and sing it, if you will. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, there's an open door. And Julie walked that right into her testimony last night. And it's a solid fact. People need the Lord. People need I get doing this, and I'm looking around to get other things on my mind, and I heard Matt talking about getting a foot of snow up in West Virginia, 2 foot. Alec was telling me that some of their friends, I think Pavel, some of your friends in Russia, were in a location in Russia in the last week. They've gotten 15 feet of snow. That'll seriously hamper your drive to work. That will. Wow. Wow. Well, fellowship a little bit. Enjoy one another. Encourage one another tonight. Glad you're here. Greet one another as the instruments play. We'll sing it again. Make me cry. Stand up here watching y'all put dollar bills on the seat down here for this little boy. It's wonderful. You may be seated. Ushers, come forward if you will. Going to make an announcement tonight. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we'll be back in missions conference, okay? I hope you'll be here. I hope you'll be here. Ushers, come forward if you will. All right. We're going to give the offering tonight to the love offering for our missionaries. Now we'll give to them, and we'll take care of them. But everything you give will go to them. Everything you give will go to the missionaries. And if it's more than we plan to give them, we'll give them more than we plan to give them. But we'll take care of that. We'll do that. John Cordes is back home after having surgery yesterday, and he's doing very, very well. Talked to him today. Anita Boyd had surgery yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Came through surgery marvelously well. The tumor in her leg was attached to the sciatic nerve, and they did not know how that was going to work. But today she's been up walking. And she's back on that phone texting and all those kinds of things. Now, it's an absolutely amazing thing, but the Lord willing, she'll come home Saturday. And that's an amazing thing, day after tomorrow. And it's been a long, hard road, but this could well be the point of victory in that. So pray much for that God will bless and help. Lord, thank you for these missionaries that have come to be with us. I thank you for them. I thank you for the lives, how you've brought them to yourself, and now you've called them to send them out. And Father, as we become part of that, I pray that you'll use them in a very real way. As we give tonight, Lord, an offering, not that's required, but an offering of love for you and for your workers. May it be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Today a man is somewhere proclaiming the good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ. He can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. And together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one. The message is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus far away or door to door. For just like somebody told you that Jesus loves you so, you must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world knows. For each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. And together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one. So will you go and labor? Will you hold high your light? One by one and two by two, we must win our world for Jesus Christ. Each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one go tell someone, if we each one reach one.
Thank you so much, Brother Mark. What a challenge and what a truth. You say, well, I can't win the world. Try one. Try one. Okay. Brother Mike Haley, I want you to come. Be ready to preach for us. Mike and Cindy are heading to Botswana and served wonderfully in this country in a number of churches that he pastored, and then went to Romania and had a marvelous work over there that we supported. Amen. And it's a blessing to see them going back, even though this time to an entirely different place, a different kind of place, a different culture, but a good language. A good language. Amen. I think you get to speak English too, don't you?
Yes,
you get
sir.
To speak English.
Amen.
And that's good. That's very good. And after service, I was listening to Marie last night, and Marie was talking to Dallas or someone, or who is she talking to? Anyways, talking. And they were speaking in Spanish. And, you know, they're putting me on the spot to speak Spanish. And I said, si.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but I'm thankful for these people. Thank you for their heritage and for what God has done with them and what God's going to do with them. Brother Mike, open the Word of God with us and preach to us tonight.
Thank you, preacher. We love you. Amen. I appreciate the heritage that you and Dr. Reynolds and his family represents in our lives. Cindy and I were just going down memory lane a little bit today and thinking about some of the sweet and precious things that are part of just the memories of God's people and the people you meet. And isn't it just good to be a child of God? Amen. If I was thankful for no other thing tonight, I'm so thankful that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and that for some reason the Lord Jesus Christ thought that I was worthy to be his child. That's all we really need, isn't it? Amen. And how many of you are excited about going to heaven? Amen. How many of you are excited to be here tonight? Say amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you. The crowd's grown a little bit tonight, and that's exciting. We're delighted to be here with you. I want to ask you to turn tonight, if you will, please, to John chapter 9, verse 4. John chapter 9 this evening is where we'll begin. While you're turning, I want to tell you about a lady who went and visited a church. She was an older lady and a little dignified and refined, and she went and visited a church, and she sat in the service for a little while and was just moved. And she lifted up her hand and she said, "Well, amen." And boy, I tell you, that church was not used to that. And they jumped and everybody got a little wide-eyed. And a deacon walked over and he said, "Ma'am, please don't do that again." And she said, "Okay." And she sat there, and a few minutes later, the service was about half over, and she just got a little moved again. And she said, "Well, hallelujah." And boy, everybody got wide-eyed and jumped. And here come that deacon again. And he said, "Ma'am, I've asked you once, and I'm going to have to ask you again. Please refrain from acting that way." And he said, "If you do that again, I'll have to ask you to leave." And boy, she held out, and she almost made it to the end of the service. And she couldn't help herself. She stood up, and she said, "Thank you, Lord Jesus." And that was all they could take. And here come that deacon, and he escorted her out the back door. He said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry. I've never, ever kicked anybody out of this church. But you just can't act that way here." He said, "You're not even a member." She said, "That's what I was so excited about." Amen. I've been in some places like that. I'm sure you have too. And I'm glad this isn't one of them. Amen. We love, I don't just say that, I mean it. I want you to know I mean it. We love Volusia County Baptist Church. What God is doing here excites our hearts. It motivates our hearts. It encourages us. We were here for your journey through Christmas for one night. Sat right back here in the middle section. And two people, a man beside me and a man behind me, tonight, that night asked Christ into their heart. And I'm telling you, it just rejoiced my heart. We drove away just pumped that night about what God's doing through you. John chapter 9, verse 4 tonight. Let's begin reading in verse 1. And I want you to hear the title of the message tonight as we read. The title is this: How Are We Working the Works of God? How are we working the works of God? The Bible says in verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." Now I want you to notice tonight, he saw a man. Notice, if you will, in verse 2, "And his disciples asked him, saying," he saw a man, his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Verse 3, the Bible says, "Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And in verse 4, our Lord says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Let's just read verse 5. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." How many of you are glad tonight that Jesus Christ is the light of the world that shines in your heart tonight? Amen. What a joy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity, the honor, the blessed privilege it is. Lord, you know we've told you today. We don't take it lightly. God, we understand what this time and this moment is all about. Father, I pray your will be done. I pray you would honor and glorify yourself. And Lord, most importantly, I pray tonight, God, that all of us would hear what you want to say to us. God, what I have to say doesn't matter. God, it's what you want to say that matters. And I pray that you'd help us, God, to do your will in this moment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How are we working the works of God? I want you to understand the context of this passage. It's important to understand what's going on. The healing of the blind man. In the healing of the blind man, the Lord Jesus performed another of 8 sign miracles that were serving the purpose of manifesting his deity to the Jews. These miracles proved that our Lord Jesus is indeed Christ the Messiah.
It proved that this man that stood before them was the very Son of God. God Himself revealed in a body of flesh. And how many of us tonight agree He is the Savior of the whole world? Amen. That's the context of the passage and what the unbelieving Jews needed to see. But I think what we need to see tonight, as His disciples needed to see, is this thought of understanding and urgency. I want to ask you tonight, are we working the works of God with a sense of understanding and a spirit of urgency? And to see that tonight, notice if you will, please, in chapter 9, verse 1. The first thing I'd like you to see tonight is what drew the attention of our Savior. The Bible says, as Jesus passed by, will you read those next four words with me? Ready? He saw a man. When I got up this morning, I prayed a prayer that I have learned to pray, Lord willing, every day of my life. Lord, I understand that the world needs Christ. I understand that there are multiplied thousands of people and maybe even millions of people in Botswana who need Jesus Christ. I understand that people all around me, every day they pass me by, the chorus says. I can see it in their eyes. People need the Lord. But can I say something to you tonight, folks? Well, I understand that people need the Lord. I believe there are specific people, singular persons that God will enable us to come across and to interact with that need the Lord. Amen. How many of us understand that we are a missionary every day of our lives? We're either a good missionary or a bad missionary. Today I went through a drive-thru. And I had a gospel track. I had one left that a evangelist friend of mine gave me, and it's a great gospel track. It has a picture of a smiley face on it. And I found it to be so effective, and whenever I do business with somebody, I'll say, hey, can I give you a smile? And you know, every person I give that track to, without fail, every person has looked at me, they've smiled, they've taken the track, and I said, you look like you need a smile. And by the way, that will tell you how to receive Christ as your Savior and go to heaven. How many of you believe that's what we need to be doing? Amen. And I want you to notice in our passage that this man, the Bible says, Jesus saw a man and he was blind for his birth. I'm excited tonight to know that Jesus is still looking for sinners to save. I think we need to grab hold of that simple statement. Jesus is still tonight, this very moment, this very hour, our Lord Jesus Christ is looking for someone to save. Amen. It may be that that someone is you tonight. It may be that you're sitting here, and like me, I was raised in church. I made a profession of faith when I was 8 years old. But I'm going to say I didn't get saved. I had a curiosity, but I was not convicted of sin. And when I approached the age of 12 years old, the Spirit of God began to deal with me night after night after night. I would lay in my bed at night, and I would sit there, and I would tremble, and I would cry, knowing I was lost. My little brother, who's now my big brother, he was littler than I was then, but he was in the bed opposite of me, and he would say, let me go get Dad. And I'd say, if you go get Dad, I'll beat you up. I said, I don't want Dad to know this is going on. And that went on for a year. And on a Sunday night, sitting in a church service, our pastor was preaching on stewardship of all things. But the Holy Spirit of God had been speaking to me for a year. And that night, the fear of death and hell and the judgment of God gripped my soul. And I knew that it didn't matter that I was raised in church, how I was raised, where I was raised. I knew that I was as much a sinner as any person that had ever lived. And that night I went forward and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, and He saved me. I'm glad that the Lord was looking for someone to save that night. Amen. How many of you rejoice in the night that you received Christ? The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. May I say to you tonight that this blind man was helpless and hopeless. And the truth of the matter is, he was not necessarily looking for Christ. He was blind. Now think about that for a moment. That's a deep statement. He wasn't looking for Christ. He was blind. And the truth of the matter is that if you and I left this room tonight and every one of us went soul winning tonight and we went out and we knocked on every door we could possibly knock on, many of us would come back and say, you know, we just didn't find anybody that was really interested. We just didn't find people that had a real heart for what we had to say. How many of us tonight realize that most of the world is not really looking for Jesus Christ? That's the truth. It may be that you and I could say, I wasn't looking for Christ. But what I believe happens is that the Lord works in our lives and God uses circumstances in our lives. The Bible says this man was blind, and many in the world today are blinded by sin and unbelief. You'll see in our video presentation that false doctrine is public enemy number one in Botswana tonight. And most of the people who are dying and going to hell tonight in Botswana are not dying and going to hell because they don't think they're a sinner. They're dying and going to hell because they think that salvation is in some feel-good, emotional, charismatic movement that promises them one thing but does not deliver the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is tonight most are not looking for answers in the gospel of Christ. But I believe we could honestly say that this man certainly had heard of Christ. And can I say to you tonight that the key to receiving Jesus Christ, listen, this is so important as we think about missions, the key to receiving Jesus Christ is not what can be seen, but what is heard. People need to hear the gospel in order to believe the gospel. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call in him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. May I say to you tonight that I meet a lot of folks who have these ideas about missions, and I don't disagree with all of them, but I met a man recently, and he said, you know, I don't think we need to be sending missionaries to the foreign field anymore. I said, wow, man, tell me why you feel that way. He said, well, with technology and the internet and all the wonderful things we can do, we don't need to send missionaries. He said, we can get the gospel to people all over the world through the internet. I said, that's wonderful, but not everybody has internet. Amen. You tell that to that little boy in Botswana that got saved here about 4 weeks ago, who literally walked 6 miles across Gaborone, the capital city, because he thought he would get a liter of bottled water from Carl and Bonnie Clark. And he walked 6 miles to come to get water in Gaborone, Botswana, and he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. I'm glad that somebody made sure that he heard the gospel. Can I tell you that we're caught up in a show-and-tell experience when we need to be committed to a go-and-tell evangelism. Amen. God has commanded us to go and tell. The Bible says he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I'd like you to just give this thought for a moment. If the Lord saw this man, the Lord, this drew his attention. If he saw this one man and he wanted this one man to be saved and he told us that we should go and preach the gospel to every creature, doesn't it stand to reason tonight that we should be looking for sinners who need Christ and that we should have a burden to see that every person hears the gospel? Amen. I love that great truth. It's a wonderful quote. That why should anyone hear the gospel twice until everyone's heard it once? Amen. Keith Wright said, lost people matter to God, and so they must matter to us. Let me share a great truth with you tonight. Sometimes people celebrate missionaries as heroes, and I appreciate every missionary here. It takes one to know one, and we love you and pray for you and honor or admire your faith and admire the faith of godly people who enable us to go. But, folks, let me tell you something tonight. There's nothing in my virtue alone tonight that loves lost people. And if you'll be honest, there's nothing in your virtue alone that loves lost people. How many of us understand sometimes loving lost people is like trying to hug a cactus? Yeah. You walk up and you try to give somebody a tract and you just want to go, well, fine. And if you feel that way about it. Hey, I'm carnal. You know who I love? Anybody want to guess? I love me. Let's go to the buffet together, and I'll show you real quick who I love most. Amen. I love me. I want that big pork chop. Amen. Don't you sit there and look at me, bunch of hypocrites. You're the same way. Amen. You know why I love the lost tonight? I love the lost because I love my Savior. And it's the heartbeat of my God tonight that every boy, girl, man and woman in this world hear the good news of Jesus Christ. How can we rest until we've accomplished that for Him? Not for me. Not so much for them as it is for Him. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Keith Green said, this generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls on earth. Amen? The second thing I'd like you to see tonight is in verse 2. Notice what the Bible says. The assumption of the students. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The word master here is the same word that's used for rabbi or teacher. And I just want you to notice something. The Bible says when they came and they saw this blind man, they said, who hath sinned? Now, how many of us understand that that's a little bit of a normal, natural assumption? We see tragedy in a person's life, and we oftentimes, when tragedy comes in our own life, let me ask you an honest question. What's the first thing we ask when something bad happens to us? What'd I do wrong? Why me? Can I tell you something I've learned, a little bit I've learned in life? And one of the things I've learned is sometimes things happen to you that aren't so good, not because you're necessarily doing everything wrong, but because you're trying to do everything right. Brother Parker taught us years ago, if you're a Christian, man, you're trying to row upstream. And when you go row upstream, there's going to be friction. Amen? And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we just look at people who are going through hard times, and almost like Job's friends, we say, man, what'd you do? The truth of the matter is, the Lord Jesus saw a man and He acted with compassion. Now watch this. This is important. They did not see a man and act with compassion. They saw a condition. Then they made an assumption with an attitude of condemnation. Now I want to be on time tonight, so I'm not going to take this all the way out. But I want you, if you're taking notes tonight, Mark verse 2, verse 15, 19, and 21 through 23, look at the word asked. It's all down through that entire chapter. The word in the Greek means to interrogate. It's this idea of condemnation. It's this idea of who can we find fault with? Who can we lay blame to? Obviously, the Pharisees were trying to blame the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? The disciples think this man is a sinner, and that's why he was born blind. The parents get involved, and then the parents even dish on the son and say, well, you can ask him. He can speak for himself, because they were fearful of the Jews. Can I just say this tonight? Instead of seeing his need, and how many of you understand tonight, sometimes we need to look past the condition and see the real need. Is there anybody else in here tonight that's like me, and when you see the guy out at Walmart with the sign, we'll work for food, homeless vet, whatever the sign is, and I just have to be honest with you, my first thought most of the time is, man, get a job. Yeah, she's honest. I'm honest. Anybody else going to be honest tonight? Yeah. And you know, that's probably the case a lot of the time, but the truth of the matter is, folk, if we don't learn to look past the condition, we're never going to be able to respond with compassion. Jesus loves and sees people who have a need. The disciples didn't get it right. As a matter of fact, instead of seeing this man's need and acting with compassion and then rejoicing that he'd received his sight, everyone in this chapter, except the Lord and the man born blind who had received his sight, every one of them were acting from their own conceited reasonings. Can I just say it this way? Each one of them in their own right were as blind as the blind man. They were blinded by pride and ignorance. Hear my heart tonight, please. I don't want to stand before my Lord and be unfruitful and not do what God has given me to do, honored me to do, because I was blind by my own pride or my own ignorance. Oh, God, help us tonight. Open our eyes so that we don't make mistakes through assumptions. You know, the Bible talks about God's ways. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 6 through 8, your thoughts are not my thoughts, are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. And he tells us not to lean into our own understanding and all our ways to acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. And I just think, folks, sometimes we assume some things that maybe aren't true. How many of us understand it's easy to do that? Just to assume something that's not true. Can I just make this a little practical tonight? Maybe pull some things out of my own experience. I might be standing at a gas pump and God say, see that guy over there? He needs a gospel track. Well, Lord, I'm in a hurry. Somebody else will probably get him. Does anybody else live in the real world? Not long ago, we were challenged with our faith promise. God laid it on our heart to, in our family, to take on another missionary. And I thought, you know, Lord, somebody else would probably pick them up. When your faith promise card comes by, please don't assume somebody else will do your part. God gives you your part. God gives me my part. We all must do our part. And folks, we must be careful not to assume things that just simply aren't true. Sometimes we get all caught up in preferences and persuasions, and this might be a new word for some of you, persnickety things. I just don't like that. I just don't think that way. Oh, listen, in the RU ministry, we talked a lot about stinking thinking. And there's an awful lot of people tonight that'll die and go to hell because of our stinking thinking. Let us tonight not be caught up in our own assumptions, but let us tonight have an understanding of the need to preach the gospel to every creature. I'm so thankful, Pastor, if I could just say it publicly tonight. I got a phone call from a brother at BIMI, one of the old war horses there. And he said, Brother Haley, if you know anybody that has a heart, any pastor that has a heart to help single ladies get to the mission field, he said, we just had this lady that I counsel with, and he said, she called a church and the secretary was mean and told her how she was out of the will of God and single women shouldn't be going to the mission field. And he said, boy, she's just brokenhearted and I'm trying to keep her going. And he said, maybe you know somebody that would help her. And when I sat here last night and I saw these ladies and I thought about this church and the way this church, and I'm not saying this to try to brown nose you. I mean it from my heart. When I think about the way this church goes about reaching people for Jesus Christ, I just praise the Lord that it's not restricted and it's not limited by all these persnickety little things. I believe there's some wonderful women that are going to come to Christ because of our sister's ministry. I believe there's some wonderful folks that are going to come to Christ in ways that I may never be able to reach people and you may never be able to reach people. But it may be that God's just got some diamond in the rough that has some unique quality about them that will appeal to a certain group of people in a certain place in the world. And can I just say tonight that it's God who puts the members in the body. And it's God who knows what our gifts and our talents are. And it's God who knows how we can give Him glory and how we can be used for good. And would tonight that we would just abandon our assumptions and our little persnickety things and just get back to the simple truths of the Word of God. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord. Thirdly tonight, notice if you will, the authority of the sovereign. Verse 3, Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Can I just say there was something a whole lot bigger than anybody realized going on? Amen. The blind man really didn't know what was going on. The disciples didn't know what was going on. The Pharisees had no clue. Amen. But all of this was not punitive. He was not being punished. Listen, this was preordained for the glory of God and the good of that feller. I'm so glad. Listen, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, and sometimes I mess up and sometimes I miss things. But I'm so glad tonight that I have a Heavenly Father in heaven who back in the annals of time looked through the ages and saw my life and said, you know, that boy's going to need to be saved, and that boy's going to need to serve God. And I'm just going to put some people, and I'm going to put some circumstances, and I'm going to put some situations in his life that leads him to a place of desire to be in my perfect will. How many of you tonight can rejoice in that kind of a Heavenly Father? Amen. Aren't you glad God's sovereign tonight and God's in control and God's on the throne? And I remember years ago in our church in North Carolina, we had a bump in the road. We were going through just those things that you go through and stuff like that. I'm sorry, I said North Carolina, it's Indiana. And we had a dear lady in the church, Sister Clotine Estes. She was the closest thing to an angel I have ever met on earth. And I'm not kidding you. She was a prayer warrior, and I loved her. And I just felt a loss when she was gone. But I came in the church that Sunday morning, and everything had found its way and smoothed over, and everybody's happy again. It's just we're cooking on all cylinders. And I walked in that Sunday morning, and boy, the preacher's happy, you know. Battle's over. And I looked at Sister Clotine Estes, and I said, Sister Clotine, real pastoral-like, I said, God's still on the throne, amen? She said, Pastor, he never got off. I said, amen, let's take the offering and go home. The sermon has been preached, amen? Oh, listen, tonight, it takes a little faith and understanding to get this. But I want us to understand tonight, we live in a wicked world, and all evil and all sin and all that accompanies those things was not authored by God, but was allowed by God to enter into the world. And we need to understand that. But we need to understand that those things redound to the glory of God. Without evil, I would not understand good. Without turmoil, I could not appreciate peace. Without sin, I could not understand grace. Without judgment, I would not appreciate mercy. Without sickness, I wouldn't appreciate health. And listen, without the choice to obey the gospel of God, I would never appreciate the love of Jesus Christ for me. And let us understand tonight that God's in control. And we're going to move on for sake of time, but I want to give you two thoughts here to really remember about that. And one is this. There are two things that missions is all about. Number one, the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ must be exalted before the world. That's the job of every missionary, to know and make known the Lord Jesus Christ. That's job number one. Job number two, every person in the world is to be evangelized. That's part of the job. And when we have accomplished that, we have accomplished God's purpose in the world. Now, all of that is understanding. Very quickly, look, if you will, please, at verse 4. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Just as the Lord expressed a sense of urgency about his work on the earth, so we too must work today, this hour, with a sense of urgency. Folks, listen, we're not fools. How many of us understand tonight that God is going to soon draw the cords of time and humanity and begin to wrap this thing up? I believe we live, hear me, please. I believe we live in the most urgent hour ever to reach folks with the gospel of Christ.
God, help us tonight to be a people who understand what time it is. Can I just say this? For our Lord, it was personal. He said, I must work. And we too tonight must make it personal. Every person in this church needs to embrace their role and their responsibility in this matter of the gospel of Christ. One man said, go, send, or disobey. Our brother Curtis Hudson said, the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience. And folks, we have to decide tonight. This is a missions conference, and tonight we will decide. I will decide. You will decide. I decide, will I go? You decide, will we send? And in those decisions, we are determining whether or not folks all over the world tonight will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're deciding. And our Lord made it personal, and it was a priority for Him. The Bible, He said, I must work. That's the priority. The idea is I must keep on working. You say, Brother Mike, how long do we give? How long do we send? How long do missionaries go? How long do we stay at this? I think all of us know the answer. We go until the bell rings. Amen? And for us, that's the sounding of the trumpet. Amen? And I'm looking for the bell. But I want to be living for the bell. Not sitting in a rocking chair growing old. Singing, oh, how wonderful. But in the trenches, doing what God's given us to do every day. For our Lord, it was personal. For our Lord, it was a priority. Can I say, lastly, for our Lord, there was a perception of time. He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. Listen, if you will, to Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. And He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. John heard those words, and the Lord said, behold, I come quickly. John said, even so, come quickly. Well, He's coming. The question is, how are we working the works of God? With understanding and with urgency. That's what the Lord desires from us. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? Just a moment. Pastor, if you'll come and conduct the invitation as you see fit. Can I ask you tonight to just pray and say, Lord, You had something for me to hear tonight. There's something You want me to do. There's some way You want me to think. Maybe to change our thinking a little bit about some things. And certainly to impassion us tonight with a sense of urgency. Let's pray that God would speak to our hearts and that we would be obedient as He speaks. Father, thank You for the message. Help us now to hear and to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Master.
Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If God has spoken to your heart about some particular, I'm going to use the word He used, work. That you need to do while it is yet day. I'm just going to ask you to come spend a little time with the Lord about it. No music right now. If God's spoken to your heart at this time about some work that He has for you to do, and you say, I need to get about that. I need to get about that. This is your opportunity to come talk to Him about that. In light of the second coming of Christ, in light of the condition of the world, in light of God's command upon our lives, now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I don't know. I'm just, this is, I didn't hear God speak to me audibly, but I just somehow sense that I should ask this question tonight. If you're willing to go to the mission field, if God calls you, if God led you, and you're willing to go to the mission field, I'm going to ask you to slip from your place and come stand with me. If you're willing to go. Stand behind me. Stand behind me here. I'm going to ask you to look up this way. There's an old song that says this. The thing I want to sing, O Zion, haste, thy mission high fulfilling, to show to all the world that God is light. We sung that tonight, the choir sang that tonight, orchestra played. O Zion, haste, give of thy sons and thy daughters to spread the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul in prayer victorious, and all thou givest, Jesus will repay. Publish glad tidings. Tidings of peace. Now, I don't know what God has for these people here. I don't know what God has for them. Well, they probably don't know right now. Some of them may know already. I don't know about that. But the only thing they're saying is, I'm willing to go if God wants me to. Father, I thank you for willingness. And Father, I pray that the willingness expressed in the time of this service tonight and your presence in this place and your speaking to our hearts, I pray that that willingness will not just be for this time, but it will be from this time on. Wherever you lead, however you lead, Lord, that we'll be willing to do your will. Those of you that are standing behind me, I want you to once again, if you've already done that before, I'm going to ask you quietly between yourself and God tonight to say that. Maybe for the first time, maybe again. I'm going to ask you to take a moment to tell God that right now. And whenever you tell him that, standing at the front of this auditorium in front of these people, when you've told him that, you may go back to your seat. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed as God speaks and as they speak to God. doing good deeds, sowing good seeds, leaving life's follies behind me, faithful each day, quick to obey. That's how I want the Lord to find me. Doing good deeds, sowing good seeds, leaving life's follies behind me. Faithful each day, quick to obey. That's how I want my Lord to find me when He comes again. Oh, when He comes again. Oh, may He find me faithful to Him, doing my best. That's how I want my Lord to find. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I didn't hear an audible voice, but after this message tonight, in the theme of missions conference, the greatest missionary there ever was, is He who left heaven to come to this earth. Paul, would you and Annette come on up here? I want you to sing first and last verses of Down from His Glory. I know you haven't had time to warm up, and I know you've got blue jeans on. If you don't know the words, I'll give them to you. Ever-living story. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Without reluctance, flesh and blood, His substance. Oh, you don't? Do it tonight. If you... Annette, I'll do it. If he doesn't do it, I'll do that. It's okay. You got the microphone?
Down from His glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger, to His own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator. He came, my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Without reluctance, flesh and blood, His substance. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Oh, glorious, whatever He said, sacrifice of Calvary. And now I know You.
Where is Marie? It's time for you, girl. Okay, tell us what we're going to see and then let us see it. You ready? Got the pictures ready? All right.
Hello. Thank you for having me. My name is Marie Lee Wilson, and I know my last name has been a factor of confusion, and would just like to explain really quickly. My great-grandfather, who was British, decided it would be a nice thing to combine his last name, Lee, with his wife's last name, Wilson. My grandfather was born a Lee Wilson, my father was born a Lee Wilson, and I was born a Lee Wilson. I like to say I was born with two last names, Lord willing. If and when I get married, I'll finally have one last name and end all the confusion. So here's my DVD, and then after that I'll explain a little bit more of my ministry. Thank you.
Deaf people are found in every country, every race, every people group in the world. For these millions of deaf, a major means of communication is sign language. There are an estimated 200 to 500 different sign languages around the world, each representing a unique culture and community. Most deaf consider the spoken language that surrounds them as their second language, if they learn to read, making written communication minimally effective, especially in third world countries. Many deaf claim to follow whatever religion their parents followed, but upon further investigation, few deaf actually understand what is going on during any type of uninterpreted worship ritual. Most missionaries working with hearing people have neither the ability nor the resources to effectively reach this unique community in their area. Due to these factors and many others, the deaf are the fourth largest unreached people group in the world. Such is the case in Honduras, Central America. Honduras is a Spanish-speaking country and, according to the World Factbook, is 97% Catholic. In this country alone, approximately 18,000 to 70,000 people live in silence, with very few Christian ministries that are equipped to reach them. Hello, I am Marie Lee Wilson, and God has called me to the field of Honduras. I grew up in a godly Christian home, was saved and baptized at a young age, and felt called to missions shortly thereafter. In 2008, I graduated with a 3-year Bible degree from Faith Bible Institute, and in 2012, received a Bachelor's of Science degree in nursing. Throughout my education, missions remained my end goal. During college, I fine-tuned other skills, skills that have since served me well in ministry. During a short but intense study abroad trip to Mexico, I realized I couldn't verbally witness to my host family due to the language barrier. I returned to the States looking for immersion opportunities, and in 2011, I had learned enough Spanish to lead a Spanish-speaking woman to Christ. I later became a certified interpreter at my hospital. I thought I was ready for missions, but God had other plans. 4 years ago, I started attending my church's sign language classes, purely out of curiosity. I soon learned enough to start interpreting parts of services and join deaf events. Using my acting background, I co-directed 2 deaf dramas, and several people were saved. Later, I started a Sunday school for deaf children and a weekly Bible study for deaf women. God combined my Spanish and sign language paths while vacationing in Panama in 2013. There, in a Spanish-speaking country, I happened to meet a missionary family who were reaching the deaf. That greatly impacted me. And over the next few months, God clearly called me to go as a missionary to the deaf in Latin America. As a registered nurse, I joined a medical missions team in Honduras. And there, I was introduced to a church planting team with no current means of reaching the deaf.
Team Honduras is an independent Baptist church planting team that was started in 2005. We are currently working in 2 church plants, both of which are involved in local evangelism and missions giving. We also have a children's home, discipleship program, and Bible Institute to prepare future laborers for the cause of Christ. We are excited about Marie joining Team Honduras because it opens the possibilities of evangelizing the unreached deaf community with the gospel and ministering through medicine for the glory of Jesus Christ.
Though the vast majority of my time will be involved in reaching the local deaf community, I look forward to using the abilities God has given me to help Team Honduras reach their world for the Savior. Throughout my life, God has consistently brought challenges and opportunities that have motivated me to become better prepared to reach those who have never heard the gospel. With His help, I have overcome obstacles and become skilled in a variety of settings, which has, in turn, helped spread the gospel to many. I am ready, prepared, and determined to break the silence for deaf Hondurans, despite the challenges that await. Would you consider supporting me prayerfully and financially as I reach Hondurans for Christ?
Questions that I get just about every church I visit. One is, what about your nursing degree? Are you going to use it? And the answer is absolutely yes. God does not waste time. He doesn't waste our time. He doesn't waste His time. And He had me go into nursing, and I later found out, as I was discussing the possibility of joining Team Honduras, that they were drawing up plans for a surgical clinic and would need a medical professional, a bilingual medical professional, to run it, be kind of a case manager and work with bringing patients who need surgeries with surgical teams from the United States who could perform those surgeries. So though that will not be my primary ministry in Honduras, that will be a secondary ministry that I'm really excited to be able to help out. And the training in September that you all gave for will help me prepare substantially for that. Second question I'm often asked is sign language different in every country? And the answer is absolutely yes. A couple of countries, such as Liberia, uses ASL, but most countries have their own, if not a couple of their own. Honduras is no different, and their sign language, Lenguaje de Señas Hondureños, which just means Honduran Sign Language, their acronym is L-E-S-H-O, LESHO. And I've just started learning that about 2 months ago and actually was able to witness to a Honduran deaf woman in Lesho 2 weeks ago. So that was a major blessing. Third question I'm always asked is, how old are you? I get this everywhere I go, several times here already. And just, I am 26, and God has blessed. I was raised in a godly Christian home, homeschooled 12 years, and I like to take the opportunity to just praise the Lord for what He gave me in being homeschooled and learning skills as we grew up. But the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And please pray for me as I continue to follow the Lord's leading on my life. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's stand together and we'll ask missionaries, if you will, go on out to your table. And you can stop by, pick up a prayer card. Now you know somewhat about them, and meeting more of them all the time and informed about what they're doing and where they're going and how the Lord's working in their lives. Whenever I saw Marie, I thought she was 16, but turns out she's 26. And what a gifted young lady, and what a different testimony than Julie's from last night. Saved as an adult and a single mom, and here's a young lady growing up in a Christian home. Okay, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Let's see. Matt Prine's preaching tomorrow night. Amen. Who's giving a testimony? You giving testimony? Well, they're gone. They're gone. They're out now. Okay. I don't know. One of them will be giving a testimony. And I think we're going to see the slides from Botswana. We're going to see the pictures, DVD or whatever it is, from Botswana tomorrow night. And so hope you'll be here. God bless you. You're dismissed.